is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. As you start to make reservations for special dinners and gatherings this holiday season, we're going to talk today about some places to go in and around Greater Cincinnati, new and old. Joining me to share ideas on where to dine during this holiday season and to talk about holiday favorites are Cincinnati Inquirer restaurant critic Polly Campbell and co-director at City Stories Media Donna Kovret. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon. Glad to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's an exciting time. I think December is one of those months where people really start to think about, we really need to go out to dinner or go out with some friends and do some special things. And I think a good place to start is just to ask, what are some of the special places and maybe new places around town that people might want to go? Polly?
Well, there's something about Christmas, I think, makes you want to go to a sort of an old-fashioned, homey, cozy place. And so that's why, say, the Golden Lamb is booked up for Thanksgiving by, I don't know, September, and popular at Christmas. Places like the Towsie House, the Greyhound Tavern, maybe the National Exemplar, the Grand Finale. Those are all places that decorate nicely, have a nice old-fashioned feel, and kind of get you in the spirit, I think. I also like, you know, it's also a nice time just to go somewhere special that you don't often go, especially you tend to go out with your friends or your people you work with or something. So it might be a nice chance to try out a new place like Boca, maybe, or downstairs Soto or some of the other great new restaurants that have opened this year. I often go to one of Jean Robert's restaurants, whichever one it happened to be. Now it's Jean Robert's table at Christmas.
Where are all these located? You've talked about some downtown.
Golden Lamb is in Lebanon. Towsie House is all the way down in Burlington. It's in an old historic building. It's beautifully decorated. It's a really lovely little historic place. Greyhound Tavern is in Fort Mitchell. One of the forts, Fort Mitchell.
Kenton County.
The Brandywine Inn up in Monroe also has that kind of old-time feeling, and they do special Christmas dinners. National Exemplar in Mariemont, Grand Finale in Glendale. York Street Tavern's kind of fun this time of year, too, I think.
That's in Newport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I went up to a place this year in Middletown called Stained 1054 Bistro, which feels Christmassy because it's full of stained glass from old churches. It's a beautiful little spot that's been beautifully redone by this stained glass company. The food wasn't quite there when I ate, but that was early on. It may be
better.
A kind of fun place to go. Yeah.
I also like being on the square because of the big tree.
Oh, yeah.
The ice skating rink. We've traditionally done like Via Vitae on Christmas Eve.
Palomino.
Yeah. And also I love orchids. I love orchids. Not only are...
And that's down at the...
In the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Hilton, Netherlands. Not only is Todd Kelly and pastry chef Megan Kedover world-class chefs, but, you know, it's that beautiful, gorgeous room and very decorated for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They have a big gingerbread village
the whole
display.
City, they also do afternoon tea, but just on Saturday, I believe.
Right, as well as the Cricket Palace Restaurant too.
They do
beautiful afternoon tea.
Yeah, that's very Christmassy.
So when you go to these places for Christmas, the holiday season in general, is there anything you should anticipate in terms of types of food they're going to be serving at this time of year? Is it the usual fare? Do you think that there's some specials?
I don't think most places do anything particularly different, although there's a couple places like the Golden Lamb has these brunches during December, and they have a couple of menus. They have like a Dickens brunch with roast goose and another one that's more American or
but do
a
they
German
do that,
one.
The pudding that's in the Christmas carol.
They must. How could they call it a Cratchit brunch if it didn't have plum pudding? I don't know. another place that does something a little different is Bella Luna. They do an Italian restaurant down on
Eastern.
They do a Feast of the Seven Fishes on the 2 days before Christmas, where they have a buffet with seven. It's an Italian tradition.
So there's just seven different kinds of fish?
Seven different fish dishes. I think they count clams and stuff as dish.
Seafood.
As fish also,
Seafood in general.
Yeah.
So as people are making these plans, I assume reservations make a lot of sense at this time of year?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's probably a little too late for any office party reservations. Right. Maybe. Or a table if your office is
But dinner with your friends or something
and
like
I
that.
And I find calling directly instead of doing open table
I know. I don't like open table.
Why not? I mean, that's interesting. I've used it. What's
well, open table, I mean, open table is beneficial in some ways. Whatever restaurants belong to it, you can, like, you can just put in December 24th, for example, and see what restaurants are even serving and open.
True.
So that's
yeah.
helpful. But, I mean, there's so many, sometimes someone cancels, there might be a waiting list, there just might be something. I find just calling the restaurant and talking to someone directly, you can often get a reservation where it will sometimes say on open table that it's booked out.
They can now, squeeze you in.
We should mention open table is a website that people
Correct.
Can go to make reservations.
Yes.
And
yeah.
you just put in your city, right? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody's on it, but most places are.
Yeah.
It works very well.
But you find that you do get a better selection or you might get in somewhere that you wouldn't otherwise if you make
Absolutely.
A phone call.
Yeah. Plus, yeah. just nicer talking to someone.
Right.
you know? I know. It's
also, I have to put in my email and then they know who I am, so I never call. I never use it.
That's true. That's true. You have to remain anonymous.
I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
What are some of the trends that you've seen develop over the past year in food? I mean, you know, every year it seems like there's some new trend.
I would say wood fire is the big one.
Oh, yeah.
Probably more. I mean, there's more restaurants now with either a wood-fired brick oven or in the case of Metropole, you know, Chef Michael Paley took it even a step further and is doing open hearth, you know,
That's
cooking.
Where he puts the food actually inside the...
Some of it.
Well,
some
he uses
of it's,
it lots of ways.
Yeah, lots of ways. Some of it's hung over like his string chicken, but some of it is buried, you know, in ash, wrapped and buried in ash. And so I would say that's probably the single biggest trend that I've seen.
That's one I've really noticed early on when there were a lot of restaurants that opened this year. Like Soto cooks those wonderful bisteca on a wood grill. And other places use wood grill even if you can't see it.
Like right. Senate, what did they cook? Senate and Abigail Street, you
oh,
can smell it.
Soto, the new Italian restaurant.
But you said bisteca? What's
bisteca,
that?
Bisteca. Fiorentini, although...
It's the traditional Italian... steak, which is like
porterhouse.
A porterhouse steak. It serves to, it's done a specific way. It's absolutely delicious.
It's
they had it on their old menu,
yeah,
too.
They really
and, I mean,
make
it's
a point
pretty
of it.
Stunning.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I just noticed this crept up on me late this year. And I'm gonna write something about this, but it seems to be the year of the croissant suddenly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these places have croissants, really good croissants.
Just as a bread with your meal or as a
no,
sandwich?
No,
or...
I'm talking about bakeries mostly.
Oh, okay.
It's more so than dining, I guess. But like with a French crust opening and the cake rack and Blue Oven does croissants, all of a sudden there's some delicious croissants, which makes me pretty happy.
Yeah, there are. I mean, and making more. I think bakeries had croissant before, but they were the, like... that you get unfrozen in a box.
Right,
and,
yeah, sure.
They're par-baked.
Yeah, I mean, these are the kind you roll out
but
18
yeah,
times.
Yeah, it's not an easy dough
right.
to do, being a former pastry chef.
Yes.
So I can, and it's time-consuming, so I can see why some bakeries wouldn't put the effort into it. But
it's
now
so
it's,
nice to
yeah.
see that.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. If you have a favorite restaurant you want to tell us about or a food trend you found this year, 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. So we've got croissants that are new. We have the hearth cooking that is new. Anything else?
Well, I wouldn't say it's new this year, but it's changing how people eat. And that's the small plate phenomenon, I guess. And you really see that down on Vine Street. Which is funny. I hadn't really quite gotten used to eating that way. I was talking to my daughter, who's in her 20s, and to her it makes a lot of sense. It's
well, explain what it is for
well,
people that may not be
well. It's just serving dishes in small amounts.
So instead of getting enough to take home for 10.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, and also
it's
maybe where the plate is placed from the server, that it's often a shareable.
Yeah. Well, although it's sort of funny if it's a small plate. If you're going to share it, shouldn't it be a bigger plate? You know, that's always struck me as odd. But the idea is that you can have a lot of different tastes instead of one big thing.
Right.
It makes it a little harder to know what to order and how to order it and how to make your dinner happen. But as I was saying, my daughter, it's perfect for her and her friends. They'll meet up. Somebody's eaten, somebody hasn't. It's late for somebody, early for somebody else. It's very versatile. And it is fun because, as we all know, the first 5 bites of something are way better than the last 5 bites of something. So,
well, you
it's
do
fun.
Get to taste a lot of a menu. Abigail Street's a really yeah. good example of this.
And where are they located?
They're on Vine Street in the Gateway Quarter. They're the sibling restaurant to Senate, so okay. right next door to each other at Vine and 12th. But they're a great example, as are many of the other restaurants down there, too.
Down there,
but
yeah.
but they're kind of their whole menu is focused around that. But you get to taste a lot of food. You get to share. It usually comes in kind of progressive stages. It's usually a meal that's a little bit more lingering. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just going in and slamming down.
Is the cost less? Are you going to pay less for the smaller plate?
Depends.
You could really go all out.
Yeah,
I
mean,
a lot of small plates.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could be just a snack if you just want one thing. You sit at the bar, have a glass of wine, and one thing, and you're not haven't paid a bill, lot of money.
I mean, I often go into the bar at Senate and, you know, just get the mussels charmoula, like my hands down my favorite thing there.
Yes.
And it's not super expensive, that glass of wine or a beer, and, you know, I'm out. But now, if you're with a group and you start sharing a lot of small plates, yeah, you can rack it up.
Yeah, so you
have to pay attention to what you're doing. We did just get a tweet from Taste of Belgium, who wanted everyone to know they're offering gingerbread waffles for the season.
Oh, so. Hello, Jean-Francois.
He is such a social media guy.
He is.
I was just at his new place on Short Vine not too long ago.
That's right, new Taste of Belgium. Oh, is it very similar to the one downtown?
It feels really different.
It is. It does feel different. It's a great bar. It's a little more... it has a little bit more college, you know, kind of sports
bit.
Bar.
Yeah,
a little
TVs.
Bit.
Yeah, I wouldn't, maybe not.
You know, but
far,
it has a counter you can eat at. It has the high tables and,
And it has something. I love the way Jean-Francois plays around with those waffles. And the newest one is the waffle gatto, which is a waffle. It's a waffle with gelato on top and then an espresso poured all over it, which...
Right.
It is kind of genius, actually.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Gelato and, wow.
It's a take on an Italian
affogato.
Called affogato, which actually Dojo Gelato serves those. Jean-Francois, ever the entrepreneur.
And gelato, of course, also still, is that still trending? Is that the thing that everybody?
Yeah, I'd say so. I haven't seen
more in the
new
summer
lately,
maybe than now? Or?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's funny that you would think there were three ice cream places here that kind of had it sewn up, you know, Grater's, UDF, and Aglabisi's, yet more and more ice cream places open.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and really good. Yeah, really good. Dojo Gelato's a great example. He makes incredible ice cream. And there's one in Northern
honey.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then Matasono's. Yeah.
Right. Hello, Honey downtown.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. I love Hello, Honey. Oh, my God. Her brown butter. Brown butter gelato. She makes her own marshmallows. Get the brown butter gelato with a toasted marshmallow that she fires on top of it. Unbelievably good.
Yeah, you guys are making me really hungry. So we're going to have to take a short break right now. Thanks for chatting. And we're going to continue to talk about restaurants and special foods for the holidays. We continue our discussion for this holiday season. You can call us at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking this afternoon about places to celebrate this holiday season. Joining me are Cincinnati Enquirer restaurant critic Polly Campbell and co-director at City Stories Media, Donna Kovret. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Kate's calling in from Northside. Hi, Kate. What's your question?
Hi. Well, I don't have a question, but I got to thinking about what would the perfect place for Christmas restaurant and an adventure as well. And I thought of the Taft Museum because they have a beautiful display of antique Christmas ornaments, plus this cafe with this executive chef named Lou Gradke. His food is so beautiful, so delicious and creative. That would be an ideal adventure for Christmas.
All right, Kate.
Great lunch.
Just open for lunch, I think.
Yeah, I think they're open for lunch only,
but that's
Saturdays.
True. It's a beautiful spot. Yeah.
Well, are there places similar to that? Other museums or other sort of places you wouldn't expect to eat food that might be a place to go for something like that?
The Art Museum has
Terrace
a nice cafe.
Yeah, they have a cafe. Terrace, is it Terrace Cafe, Cam?
I think, yeah.
Gosh, what is another unusual?
Well, think about that. If anybody has any other ideas, let us know. That'd be great to hear from you. Frank's calling in from Morrow. Hi, Frank.
Hi, good afternoon.
What's your comment?
I have a donut shop out in Morrow. It's called Doughboys Donuts and Diner. And we do a deep-fried croissant.
Oh, a little cronut kind
of
thing.
Yeah, because, no, it is
not. Oh, no, it's not a cronut, of course. You can't call it that.
It doesn't have donut dough. It is a fried croissant.
Right.
So you just take a regular croissant and then you drop it in and fry it?
Yeah.
And they're served hot? And then do you do anything like, this is Donna, do you do anything like sprinkle it in sugar or do anything on top of it? Or is it just dropped in and served hot?
It's 100% naughty.
It is
dunked in glaze.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
And then it is filled with a baker's cream cheese or custard or a peanut butter cream.
Oh, geez.
Or a raspberry jelly. Chocolate.
You're in Morrow?
I need to lie down.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And then it's drizzled with a little bit of chocolate or caramel icing just so we can kind of tell which one is which.
Gilding the lily.
So when do those come out of the fryer there?
Yeah, we call them stuffed doughboys after our shop.
And when
tell me the name of your shop again.
It's called Doughboys Donuts and Diner. Right now we have a location in just outside of Morrow on Montgomery Road.
I have to check that out.
But we're opening a new place near Rivers Bend on Route 48.
Oh, huh.
Should be open in January.
And do they come out fresh all the time? How often do you?
At the shop now, I just make them, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because we're only open until noon.
Great.
But our new location will be open, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, we'll be serving them as needed.
Great.
As needed.
Well, Frank, thanks so much. We appreciate your call.
Thanks for the heads up.
Our number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. We did just get a couple of tweets. Someone suggesting Short Vine Bistro after seeing the Festival of Lights. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Also, Sandra from Middletown tweeted or emailed and said, where can folks get gluten-free good dining and be assured it is truly gluten-free and same with lactose and vegan?
There are obviously gluten-free is getting to be a larger category of dining, and one place. And if you already eat gluten-free, you may very well know this, but surprisingly, Maggiano's Italian in Kenwood Mall has a big commitment to gluten-free.
Yeah, they have an entire gluten-free menu.
Yeah, they have gluten-free pasta and stuff. So that's one place. I don't know a lot about exactly how You have to be so careful.
How can you be positive,
some people have to be really, really careful. The Green Dog does a number of things. It's in
Columbia
Tusculum. Yeah. They do some really great rice bowls and things like that. And definitely finding more places. Let me think.
I don't know of any place besides Maggiano's that has a whole gluten-free menu. But I do find that most places now have some kind of vegan, not just vegetarian, you're not just relegated anymore to a salad, and most of them do honor or have some kind of gluten-free or vegan dish.
Yeah.
Sometimes all you have to do is call ahead and tell them, and most chefs will honor that. If they know someone's coming in.
So it's a good idea to let people know in advance that you're coming, that you need vegan,
right.
If
you're with a group of people and you're the lone vegan or something, call ahead. And most chefs will accommodate that.
Jacob's calling in. Jacob, what's your question?
Actually, I just have it's a question. I'm actually from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm down here doing some business. And I've noticed something happening in Madison, Milwaukee, specifically, is that as either an appetizer or as a small side, I'm seeing shishito peppers.
Oh, yeah. They're big here, too.
Whole.
What was the other thing you said? The peppers and what else?
Oh, they're served whole, and then they usually have a sauce of some sort, and they're, it looks like they're just sautéed and blackened a little bit in the pan. Maybe, I don't think they're grilled, but just blackened in the pan a little bit. I'm just wondering if that's something that's happening right now.
Metropole does a great shishito pepper.
What is a shishito pepper? I got to admit, I don't know what that one is.
It's a Japanese pepper that's not too hot, you know, more like a kind of Anaheim in heat index. Little bit small, very bright flavor. And Metropole, though, they do one where they smoke them.
I can't think. Where was I? I ate a whole dish of shishito peppers.
I did, too, just recently. I know Metropole does, for sure.
And I know Jimmy put some on steaks.
Yeah, Jimmy Gibson at Jimmy G's.
Where did I have the whole plate? Oh, at Rookwood.
Yes.
Yeah, they do, too. Yeah. They were good.
So anyway, yes, to your question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jacob, thanks for calling in.
And Milwaukee is not going to be ahead of Cincinnati.
Madison might be.
Yeah, not Milwaukee.
Okay. All right, take care.
Thanks, Jacob. We appreciate your call. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email us at talk@wvxu.org and Facebook 91.7 WVXU. We're also on Twitter. Kim's calling in from Batavia. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What suggestions do you have?
Well, there's a great little wine bar in Hyde Park. It's called Unwind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, it's just a real quaint little place. It's unassuming from the road, but once you get in there, it's beautiful. They've got a fireplace and they've got great wines. Their staff is terrific. They've got small plates, so, you know, if you're not real hungry, you know, it's just a great place to go hang out, have some wine, have a couple little eats, and, you know, it's just a really neat little place.
It looked nice in the summer with its little tables outside.
Yeah, I've been there, too.
Yeah, they've got the outside, too, and that's really neat.
Thanks for sharing that. We appreciate it.
I bet they're great for Christmas. Actually, one more.
There's a place down on by Bell and Luna's, actually. It's called The Brew House. And it, you know what? An unassuming place. They've got great beats too.
The Brew House is very creative, in Walla Hills?
Isn't it on Eastern? It's near like Bella Luna.
It's right on the corner near the precinct.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's not near Bella Luna. It's near.
Right.
No.
That's the Mexican place.
No, I thought the Brew House was on Gilbert or on Taft or McMillan in Walla Hills. Not that one?
We'll have to check that out.
Okay. All right, we'll drive by and we'll see.
Yeah.
Kim, thanks so much for calling.
Delicious.
We appreciate it.
Yeah,
take care. We appreciate it.
Right.
Sean's calling in from Loveland. Hi, Sean.
Yes, good afternoon. My wife and I like to socialize downtown on the weekends. We usually go to Fenley Market, do our shopping, grab a glass of wine, and then we're usually looking for something like a cheap burger place. We've never been able to find it. We usually punt and just go to the Skyline in Clifton. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, is there a good burger place, something like you'd see on Guy Fieri on the Cooking Network down in the downtown Clifton area?
Lots of people go over to Tucker's after they go to Findlay Market, which is a unique place.
And Tucker's is on what street is that?
It's on Vine.
Yeah, Vine at like
a block from Findlay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a great old time diner, but has its own really special personality. Let's see, where else? I ate a lot of burgers this year.
I've had a great burger. I sit at the bar at Jean Robert's Table. They have a great burger.
That's pretty big burger.
It is a big
Metropole
burger.
Metropole has a great big burger, too.
I like the burger at Senate. He's got, he mixes short ribs in his. It's really, really good. Metropole's a great burger.
You could go down to Moreline Lager House. I mean, that's all the way the other end of downtown. They have
on the banks,
a couple nice burgers. It's a little less. But
there isn't
like a Terry's Turf Club style place downtown so much, you know, that's got that.
Is there anything across the river in Northern Kentucky that would suffice there?
Well, yeah, there's Mad Mike's right near Newport. That is a great burger place.
Otto's has a good burger.
That one's in Covington, right?
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Main Strauss.
So you may need to...
Yeah, Mad Mike's is one of your great burger bargains.
And where is that?
It's various places in Northern Kentucky, but the one I'm thinking of is where the Graters used to be, just a few blocks from
by
Newport.
By the Peace Bell, near the World Peace Bell.
Right. Yeah.
Fourth and Monmouth?
It's like a fast food, but much better than fast food burger.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Any particular old favorites of places? We've talked a lot about some new places, but just really old favorites maybe that, you know, years ago everybody talked about if you really wanted the special dinner, you went to the Maisonette. Is Orchids that place now, or where would people go now for that really special
dinner? Well, I think Orchids is, yes, still that. Like we said at the top of the hour, you know, you've got two world-class chefs, Todd Kelly and Megan Kedover, pastry chef, and an incredible team. But also Boca. I mean, Boca's, if you've not been in the...
And that's the new Mason.
Right.
Boca's in the old Mason.
The Mason at Redo. Right. But if you've not... been in there yet. I mean, it is a wow when you walk
it
in.
Is.
It's just, it's so stunning. Absolutely beautiful. And the service is top flight and the food is great and they make you feel very special.
Yeah. I think those are two, you know, maybe it took two restaurants to replace Maisonette. I don't know. But no, those are definitely the two. And of course, if what you like is steak, then there's one of Jeff Ruby's places. That's the other very special occasion.
What if you don't? I mean, my husband will eat steak sometimes. I am not a big steak eater. I mean, do you find that those places are still good? Because even if you don't like steak, you've got something else you can
eat. I have a friend who's a vegetarian who goes with her husband to Jeff Ruby's and gets just all their great side dishes.
Potatoes, Hannah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
My favorite thing there.
Yeah.
I know.
And they have fish. Each Jeff Ruby restaurant is a little different, but they all have some good fish on the menu or a chicken dish.
Arnold's is actually a great place for that. And Arnold's is one of my favorite kind of old-timey
places. That's right.
Arnold's has a great steak and then tons of vegetarian stuff. And a very unique atmosphere.
That's a good place for Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know if they
love
decorate,
Arnold's.
But it's got that same kind of
homey
feel.
I love
it.
It's a place to hang out with old friends. Perhaps.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Peter just emailed and he said G Slay in Richmond is a French bistro 20 minutes from Oxford. And...
Oh, I have never been there, but I've heard about it. Gislaine or something. They have their own farm, I think. I really want to go there. But
You mentioned their own farm. What about the whole eat local trend? Is that still big? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, some people go a little bit harder on it than others.
Right.
I think there's, you know, Todd Hudson, who's the owner of Wildflower Cafe in Mason. He's, you know, he only gets from local farmers around him. Mark Bodenstein, who owns Nouveau over in Newport, he's kind of militaristic about it, too. I think most chefs probably, you know, have a balance of chasing flavor. They're going to get what's, you know, the most flavorful for their dish. And supporting the local economy. I think they try to balance both.
Yeah, I think, I ate at Nouveau and I didn't really think about it till the end, but really it was, you know, late November and Mark really had used pretty much only local stuff available now.
That's tricky for that time of year,
isn't it? Was a wonderful, wonderful meal.
And where's that? Newport where? Newport?
Greenup Street.
Okay.
Not Newport. Covington.
Sorry.
Covington.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're
Covington.
Right.
Nouveau. Covington.
Okay.
And I think the local thing, like all trends like that, it's easy to kind of jump on it half-heartedly and pretend you're doing it when you're not. But there are some people who take it very seriously, and there's some great farmers around here.
We did just get a call from Kimberly. She said the brew house that she was talking about is really River Brew.
Oh, of course.
Brew River.
Now that's a good burger.
Right. Yeah. That is a good burger.
A little far from Family Market, but a good burger.
Right. And that's at the other end of Eastern Avenue.
Yeah,
not
right.
down by, but.
But Eastern Avenue, wow, it's got Brew River.
That's actually what Riverside Drive now, isn't that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
But
yep.
you could take a nice drive along there. You could stop at Brew River. You could go to Eli's. You could go to Terry's Turf Club.
Sandbar.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Tim's calling from Milford. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your comment?
The brew house on McMillan.
Yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned the brew house has a great grouper sandwich.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, my comment is I'm an appraiser, and I get all over the city, and every morning I stop, and I have the benefit of some of the greatest donuts in the world.
Yeah.
I stop at Grater's, those two wonderful places in Wyoming, Holtman's, that little place out in Edington, Buskin's. But there's one place that just opened about a year ago in Milford.
Oh, do tell.
Called Miss Sherry's.
Oh, yeah.
They have a donut called the Dosant. It must be 5,000 calories. But it is just the best donut I've ever had.
What makes it so good?
Anybody out there is around Milford, stop at Miss Sherry's in Melford. And I don't have a hat in the ring. They're not my relatives. I don't own part of it. It's just an absolutely fantastic
donut. What makes it so good?
Oh, it's so rich.
What kind? Is it like a glazed donut?
It's got to be croissant.
Yeah, oh, croissant. That's
like
right.
Big, super glazed donut. It's huge.
Made with croissant dough.
And it's I'm not a chef. I can't tell you the specifics.
Well, those
I can just tell you how it tastes. It's like a bit of heaven. It reminds me of Carnegie's cheesecake in New York. You can't get Carnegie's shipped to you. You got to be there.
Right. Well, that's
it's that good.
Yeah, a lot of people have taken off on this phenomenon in New York, the cronut, which went ridiculously crazy. It's the same idea. But you can't call it a cronut, so you have to come up with something else.
Right.
Like, they call it a dosant.
That sounds
all right.
Great.
Tim,
thank you
thanks
for
the
tip.
Call.
Very
we
much.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Our number is 513-419-7100. If you have a question or a comment, you can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or also on Facebook and Twitter. We're talking today about places to celebrate this holiday season. You can call us, as we said, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking about where to celebrate this holiday season and some favorite foods for this time of year. My guests are Cincinnati Enquirer restaurant critic Polly Campbell and co-director at City Stories Media Donna Kovret. You can join the conversation. Call us at 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook and Twitter. Well, we started out talking about places for dinner, and somehow it's turned into the donut show a little bit. And we thought we'd talk a little bit about maybe breakfast is the place to go, and some breakfast places, some bakeries you had in mind that you'd like to talk about and share.
Well, bakeries, one of the things this time of year, too, is that sometimes people don't have the time to bake something. And so I just have several bakeries that I really that make great baked goods that you can go and pick up, a dozen croissant or great pies or cakes and order ahead. And one of them is a brand new one on Vine Street that's co-owned by Jean-Robert de Caval, who owns, well, I don't think I even need to say, everybody knows him. And his partner, a wonderful pastry chef and chocolatier, Jean-Philippe Sonhomme. And it's called the French Crust Cafe. So you can pick up baked goods there, but you can also have a wonderful breakfast and lunch. Very tiny little place.
And where is it?
It's right next to Scotty's on Vine Street between, I think that's 8th and 9th.
Yeah, same block as the library.
Right. That's one of my favorite. Another one is one that is, you can go to the website and take orders, and this is young woman named Blair Fornshell, who has a bakery called Brown Bear Bakery, and her website is brownbearbakes.com. And she's amazing. She's an amazing pie baker. Everything is small batch, amazing cookie maker, and she does orders. And then I love Armin Hack, who's out at Frieda's Desserts in...
Stollen.
Yes, his Stollen's amazing. And his croissant...
And that's a Christmas thing. Christmas Stollen is
amazing. Yeah, oh, it's so good. Yeah. If you've ever had it and you don't like it, you should try his because it's a different thing altogether.
My aunt used to make it. I always thought it was kind of dry.
Yeah, his is not dry. It's amazing.
Oh,
he's
a fourth generation German baker from Dusseldorf. He's had Frieda's Desserts, which is... What's the main drag there? Is that Miami?
Miami. Yeah. Madeira, yeah.
And he's unbelievably good. Speaking of croissant, which we've been talking about, yep. I would knock a grandmother over to get his all to get the last almond croissant.
His are
some of the best in the
also
city.
Also, his pretzels.
Yes, and then for the vegan people out there, there's a wonderful place called Happy Chicks Bakery, and they do all vegan desserts. And
yeah, I got
really
a couple
like
of
them.
Their pies for my pie roundup.
And
sure.
Where are they located?
They're
mail order.
Yeah, they're online as well.
I mean, not mail order.
Right, online. And then Jean-Francois called in earlier. He has an incredible baker at Taste of Belgium. Mm. Mm-hmm. Tammy Nock is her name. She not only makes the best chocolate cake in the city, it's unbelievably. She's an incredible pie baker, and you can order stuff in advance, too.
Bourbon maple pecan pie is kind of a hit around my house.
She's really, really good.
You guys are making me so hungry.
So anyway, and there's plenty more too, but those are just some of my favorites.
Nathan's calling in from Mason. Hi, Nathan. What's your question?
Hi, I'll try not to embarrass Donna with anything.
Oh, hello. Hello. This is my food husband. Hi, Nathan.
Yeah, I'm her cohort. Hey, I really didn't have anything super awesome to say other than just to reaffirm what you already said. Orchids is, like, I think, probably the best place in the city. One of their best-kept secrets, too, is their Sunday brunch. It's really, really outstanding. It's real old school. They do the ice sculptures and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I wanted to add was, as far as the burgers, I personally think the best burger in the city is at Local.
They do Local 127.
Yeah, they do, like, a cold-smoked burger, and, like, it's just oozing with cheese and bacon jam or something. It's just
And where
ridiculous.
Is that?
That's
also on Vine Street.
On Vine Street.
Near 4th.
Right. Yeah. It's closer to Fountain Square. Yeah, it's right next to the Crewe Tower.
They're open for lunch now with a new chef. Yeah. The chef who started it left, and the sous chef took over.
Well, Nathan, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate
it. Bye, Nathan. See you soon.
All
this
right.
is coming.
Bye, Donna.
I totally trust him. He's an incredible cook himself.
Brian's calling from Glendale. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hi. What's your suggestion?
I wanted to put a plug in for Gordo's in Norwood.
Another good burger.
Yeah.
We've signed to turn this into the burger show.
Well, donuts and burgers. What else?
There you
go.
Or you know.
Yeah,
what
Gordo's
they say
is fun. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, Brian, thanks so much for that suggestion.
Sure.
We appreciate it. Sheila's calling from Hyde Park. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I just wanted to mention the Beehive Tavern in Augusta, Kentucky. It's
I haven't been there.
Historic. Yeah, it's totally
we were just
redone.
There.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because somebody new just took it over and I haven't been there
new
since.
Management, redecorated. It has a gorgeous fire. You can sit around the fire and have dinner. And it's just a really fun. And you can take the ferry over.
Yes. Taking that ferry over to me, it's one of the great experiences of living around here.
It's a fun trip, though.
Yeah. Oh, good. I've had it on my list to try since the new
people
took
over. Such a beautiful place to walk around. We just had our Friendsgiving there.
Oh, yeah.
And not at Beehive, but down the street. We walked by, and the same thing. We all said the same thing. Has anyone been in yet since I took over? But thank you. Thanks for reminding us about that. Yeah. It is so beautiful.
Thanks, Sheila. We appreciate it. Thanks for your call. One of the things I promised to get to and we hadn't at all is to talk a little bit about specialties that people want to make themselves for the holidays. And I thought maybe you guys would share some of the things maybe that you do that's a family tradition for you or that you think is really good.
Well, we have a couple of family traditions in my family. I have a lot of brothers. I have 5 brothers and sisters. We live all over the country. So we get together in smaller groups. But so we always all make the same coffee cake on Christmas. We always have. And there's something really wonderful about that. You can't be together with them, but you know they're making the same coffee cake in New Mexico or California or Milwaukee, wherever they live. We also have this really dorky thing we do. When we were kids, we one time had a dessert that was a ball of ice cream with a candle in it. And since there's so many of us, everything was always a competition. The competition became who could finish theirs last without the candle going out. And we all do this every year.
We do that in my family.
You have competitions sometimes.
Well, we do the candy, the ice cream ball and covered in coconut.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you must. It was originally delivered by the milkman to our house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from the Cleveland area, but we did that.
That's funny.
We still do it now. We find something. Usually it's an ice cream cake or something that we stick a candle in.
That's great. Do you have a race to see who's...
Well, we sing Silent Night while the candles are lit and then... blow it out at the end.
We have a ridiculous race. And whoever wins, whoever comes in last has to put on this special crown and do a certain dance. So
ours is not quite. Consider that for this year.
But we always get Grater's peppermint ice cream to do it with. So to me, that's one of the great tastes of Christmas is peppermint ice cream from Grater's.
Donna?
I agree. Well, I too am from a really large family, and they're spread all over the United States. I have 5 brothers and 2 sisters. And this is something that we did for years. I actually miss it. It's not my father's aging and not able to do this, but we all love the drumsticks. So my father would surgically attach extra drumsticks to the turkey.
It's
one of my favorite memories about Christmas and Thanksgiving is that this turkey would come out with, you know, 6-7 legs on it.
That's great.
But peppermint ice cream from Grater's is another one of ours. I'm a big pie baker. I also do the much very maligned fruit cake
But you say you have a good recipe for fruitcake.
Well, I do. It's something that I've, you know, kind of perfected over the years since I was a pastry chef. But I don't use the candied fruits, you know, the sort of neon-looking fruits. I use dried fruits. But a lot of bourbon and brandy and soaked and wrapped in cheesecloth. And it's pretty wicked.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it really is good stuff. So I feel bad for the fruitcake. There's some really good recipes out there.
I grew up in the Cleveland area, and I've come from a very ethnic area of Cleveland, the Slovak and Slovenian background, which you're not going to hear very much about down here. But we did things like nut rolls and poppy seed rolls and all these special things. And I'd love to hear from anybody right now at 513-419-7100 if there's a special ethnic food that you eat this time of year that is not traditionally German, which is easy to get around here, from Schnecken to, I don't know, what are some of the other specialties?
Well, Schnecken, strudels. Right.
Stollen.
Stollen. Yeah. Everything with shta. Well, and that's something that we also did. My grandmother was my cooking mentor. I learned to bake at her knees. And she had this beautiful kitchen table made from, you know, wood for the Black Forest of Germany, just this beautiful black walnut. And we stretched every year strudel dough out over it until it's just diaphanous, you know, beautiful and hanging. And then rolled up either poppy seeds, apples, sometimes a nut or a cherry strudel. And, so I try to carry that on.
My father used to make black walnut divinity, which is a really old-fashioned taste, but he'd gather black walnuts and crack them and make divinity.
Do you think those traditions still continue today?
I hope so.
Well, you know, it's funny. They might just be
making cookies together.
People do that together a lot. And it doesn't have to be something, you know, amazingly difficult to make. It's just doing it together that's
what
fun.
Matters.
Yeah.
It's about who's around the table or who's in the kitchen with you.
That's why I love Thanksgiving, because you all make it together. At least in my house, we make it all together, and then we eat it all together, and then we clean up all together. I think it's sort of strange to eat out on Thanksgiving. Actually, eating out on Christmas makes a little more sense to me, but there aren't as many places open. There are more than there used to be, though.
Right. We eat out Christmas Eve.
That's our
tradition.
That makes sense. Yeah.
513-419-7100 is the number if you'd like to join us. Beth's calling from Bond Hill. Hi, Beth.
Hello. I was disappointed when you mentioned those two outstanding restaurants for special treats and neglected to mention the Palace and the Cincinnatian, which is so elegant and lovely, and the staff is so well-trained.
Yeah, they are.
And the chef is excellent.
No, we did mention it. We did, when we were talking about high tea, we mentioned the Palace.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Right.
But
you're right, for dinner. Yeah, absolutely.
For dinner, because they have lovely dinners.
And it's beautifully decorated during the holiday season.
Yes, the whole hotel is.
Yes.
Yeah, and the nice jazz and the cricket lounge and so on. And breakfast there is always a wonderful thing.
Well, Beth, thanks for reminding us. We appreciate it.
I did think that reminded
Take
me.
Take care.
I did think of another Christmas tradition that we do, but this is with friends. So we do an ugly Christmas sweater pub crawl all through downtown. We find the most ridiculous sweaters that we can, and even the guys have to wear, you know, puffy snowmen, and we do a pub crawl, and we always hit the Palace and the Cricket. So, and they're usually, you know, 10 to 20 of us. So ours is coming up.
You mentioned tea, high tea. Lots of places serving tea now. Is that another trend? Is that a popular thing? If people can't get out to dinner, maybe they'll go out for tea?
No, a little while ago, it seemed like a lot of people were opening all tea houses. Now they just open cupcake shops. So, but there's a couple of places that do a nice tea, and Bomboniere is a wonderful place to have tea.
They do.
What about the best thing you could do, really?
Right.
I don't know. There's a place in Florence called Yesterday's. Oh, and Essentia Tea House, which is a very different kind of tea house.
Right.
A favorite of
in
mine.
In Oakley.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's
and then
lovely.
There's one across in Bellevue called, it's like Mrs.
Teapots
or something.
Right.
And there's one in Milford. It's actually rather nice.
I went to one recently, and the name is escaping me, out in Newtown. Just about.
Newtown.
I can't remember. It's next to a restaurant, but anyway.
Yeah.
Or a brew pub. Lizzie's calling from Pleasant Ridge. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. So I just wanted to join the conversation about ethnic foods and traditions.
Yes.
My family is Jewish, and so every year on Christmas we go out, and we have found an Indian spot in Sharonville called Brij Mohan.
Love that place. One of my favorites.
It is It is amazing. They have, hands down, the best Indian desserts and delicacies.
Yes, yeah, they
and
do.
And then above and beyond, their savory food. I could sing their praises for days. Just wanted to give them...
Totally yeah. agree
and
with you.
And it's almost completely vegetarian,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is. All vegetarian.
What are they called? The little sweets, I forget. They're all really big at the Indian Festival of Lights, Diwali.
Right. They have
something called a special chaat.
Uh-huh.
It is sweet and savory and hot and cold. And
oh,
it's,
yeah.
The
like
milk
Indian
cake. Food. Wow, that sounds like it's
oh, yeah,
a little
the
milk
Indian chaats are wonderful.
The milk cake is my favorite sweet out of that case.
Oh,
that's incredible. It's like biting into a piece of caramel. I mean, it's just so
they're amazing.
It's so
and they only
good.
Use like 5 ingredients to make about 25 different kinds of desserts out of them. Yeah.
Well, Lizzie, thanks for your call.
Lizzie.
We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Scott's calling from Lebanon. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
There was a restaurant I'd like to recommend, and I got a couple of holiday treats. One was to be missed for breakfast. It's only open until 3 in the afternoon, and that's a breakfast club in Lebanon.
Oh, that's a good
place. Outstanding meals and stuff.
Very
excellent. And then my wife's Hungarian Belgian, and her whole family makes, and I'd never heard of these until we got married, kolach.
Kolachi. Oh, they're Slovenian, they're kolachi, yeah.
Yeah, and then kieflies.
Kieflies? My aunt makes kieflies, yeah. That's a.
Wait, kieflies are.
Oh, like a. Isn't it like a fried dough with a jelly in the center or.
Real thin dough, and usually they have like a. Egg whites and sugar and walnut mix is as a center dough.
Oh,
and we roll them out so they're like paper thin, and they're they're baked in the oven. They're great. But tell them to take about 10 minutes to bake them, but they are fantastic.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, you're making me hungry, Scott. Thank you so much.
All right,
we appreciate it. Take care. Mary's calling from Hyde Park. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary Ann. Hey, you were asking before about ethnic desserts for Christmas, and we actually just returned from New York, and I'm originally from Erie, PA. And I'm actually Italian, and every Christmas we make cannolis with chocolate chips in them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tradition that we do, and you don't find, I have to say, I can't find a really good cannoli here in Cincinnati.
Donna agrees with you. No cannoli here, huh?
No.
Mary, you got to open a store.
Not a great handmade one. I used to actually work at a deli in Hyde Park Square years ago called Ciuccio's. And then it turned into gourmet, and it was an Italian deli, and I handmade all the cannoli there, and you really can't find that anymore.
I'm not even sure if I like cannoli.
Oh, I do.
Because I don't know.
Cannolis
it's
are
quite
wonderful.
Possible
oh,
I've never
do.
Had a
never
really
had a good
cannoli. I don't know.
Maybe that's why.
I like those Italian clamshell things, which I can't pronounce.
Oh, I love a good cannoli.
Well, Mary, thank you so much.
You.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We are just about out of time. This has been
so
interesting. I know that was a very fast hour. But we will remind everybody that you can hear the show again. I found we've done similar shows to this, and folks are like, oh, what was that restaurant? All of this will be online. You can listen again to hear of all the great places that Polly and Donna recommended today, and we'll have various links online. And Polly, I know you're going to be doing more stuff in the paper that people can follow as
well. Oh, yeah. On my, I do a lot of click-through sort of photo galleries. I'm going to be doing a lot of end-of-the-year things, best restaurants of the year and so on. And you can always check my blog, Campbell's Scoop.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
And I've been talking today with Cincinnati Enquirer restaurant critic Polly Campbell and co-director at City Stories Media, Donna Kovret. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director providing us with that great Christmas music today, Bruce Ellis. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike Makinich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.